You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here, for bringing your amazing energy to the show, as you always do. I know I always say that, but it's true. It really is true. You have amazing energy. And, you know, once the timer goes off, I know I can personally feel it. And I think that everyone in the community can feel it, too. So I'm just going to speak on everyone's behalf when I say thank you, you know, to all the soul family that is here today with us. And thank you so much for bringing your amazing vibrations to the show. I'm Ian Shelley, and this is Wisdom of the Ancients. And this show is about ancient wisdom, what was once known, practices, knowledge, wisdom, what was once remembered and maybe now is not as remembered, if that's the way to put it. But not only from the past, not only from ancient maybe civilizations but all and traditions, but also from all worlds, all galaxies, all dimensions, all realms, in both the past, the present, and the future realities as they converge in this now moment. And the series, the theme for the series is expressions of truth and expansion. So may we all be open to receiving any messages the divine has for us as we yearn to be that expression of truth, to really understand and uncover the truth of our true selves. So right now we call in the ancient ones, we call in the beings of love, light, power, and service to support us today, to be with us today, and to open our hearts. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Hope Fitzgerald is an intuitive coach, dowser, and a neurofeedback practitioner. Since her spiritual awakening at the Findhorn Foundation in 1976, Hope has been a dedicated seeker of truth, healing, and wisdom. For 20 years, she's been opening her channel to higher guidance through intuitive dowsing, and her spiritual coaching with this tool has helped people transform their lives. In 2010, Hope received a series of visions. First, a massive wave on its way to Earth, representing an incoming evolutionary push for the planet, which ultimately morphed into a standing figure eight made of flowing water. Through dowsing, it was revealed that this moving geometry was a 10th-dimensional energetic tool called the Infinity Wave, sent to us by a benevolent universe to more quickly and easily transform pain and suffering into joy and freedom during tumultuous times. Hope then launched the Wave Energy Center for Conscious Evolution, dedicated to applying the Infinity Wave for positive, expansive development of the individual, the community, and the Earth. Hope has led many workshops and appeared on dozens of international internet and radio shows, continuing to fulfill her mission to encourage individual and planetary awakening around the globe. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Hope Fitzgerald to the show. Welcome, Hope.
Thank you, Ian, so much. It's great to be back.
Yeah, beautiful. It's been about a year. So I think we have a lot of new people as well. Well, I know we have because this wisdom community has grown tremendously. And so we're excited to hear about what you're going to be sharing with us today. And everyone, Hope, will be sharing about mostly intuitive dowsing, how the universe sends you telegraphs and texts. So this is going to be a great discussion. There's going to be talk about the cosmic easy button. There's going to be discovering ways to widen your perspective on your role and your purpose on life. And also we're going to delve a little bit more into the infinity wave and really how it makes your resistance drop away. And then the process that Hope is going to take everyone through or facilitate for us is a crystal bowl infinity wave meditation, which will take place towards the end of the call. And if you'd like to ask Hope a question, we are going to open up the phone lines. So *2 to ask Hope a question, *2 on your phone, that is. And if you're on the webinar page, then certainly put your name in the box as well as your question, and we'll get to as many as we can. So Hope. I was going to ask you about the infinity wave, and then so I had wave on my mind.
Oh, that's perfect, Ian. Really, it is.
waving at you, Hope. It's like that Facebook wave thing. So, you know, Hope, I wanted to talk about maybe before we even get to intuitive dowsing, maybe you could start off because it really caught my eye when I introduced you around that infinity wave that really became known to you, you know, made itself known to you. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and help us understand what the infinity wave is?
Oh, yes, sure. I'd love to. I've been a very spiritual seeker my whole life, but very quietly so. And as you mentioned, I had been to Findhorn in Scotland when I was quite much younger and had a huge awakening at that point. And basically, I just kept learning, and I tried different modalities, different religions, different philosophies, healing, so on and so forth through the years. And then in 2010, I had a very challenging year, and at the end of it, I realized I really needed to completely empty myself out and reboot. Otherwise, I was going to probably get sick or something. So I went for a back-to-back sound healing workshops. And when I came home after what I would look now upon as a shamanic initiation, I didn't know what to call it then, but when I came home, I was so empty that you could have called me any name, basically, and I would have answered. It was delightful and delicious. And then I had 3 days of that, and then all of a sudden, this one day, I had 3 visions in a row. And I was not used to having visions, so this was quite arresting for me, I saw this giant wall of water. It was quite beautiful. It wasn't threatening. I mean, giant, 100 stories high. And it was moving towards me, actually towards the planet. And there was a kind of a byline underneath this image that said that this image of a wave, this was a representation of an energetic wave that was going to be wrapping around the earth and anchoring in at the end of 2011, and that this would be an evolutionary push for the planet and everything on the planet. And then that image, that wave, shifted to the side, so I had a side view. So if you were looking at a surfer coming through the tube, you know, the wave is curving over like the letter C, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the byline with that image was, as the water pulls away from the shore, it deepens into the seabed to collect the energy to create the cresting wave. That's how the physics of it works. And the message continued, so should you, meaning me, but meaning everybody, leave what you know. So what's in your brain, all your knowledge, leave it on the shore. And go to the earth, go to the wisdom of the earth and the wisdom keepers of the earth. Go down into the earth for your energy and for your information. And then mix that with whatever this incoming energetic was. And then the letter C of the watery wave didn't just fall back. The water didn't just fall back into the ocean. It curved around and it became this standing figure eight made of flowing water. Now, this image was about 18 inches tall and hung out in front of my third eye, if you will, about 2 feet. And it just, I wasn't used to this, okay? This was brand new. And it didn't go away for a few days, and there was no byline with it. And finally, on the third day, I said, okay, this is nuts. What is this? I need to figure this out. And I sat down and got out my dowsing rods. So this is where the rods and the waves start to interact. And thank goodness that I'd been a dowser for almost 20 years at that point. So I had a vocabulary and a way of working with it, with my dowsing rods that was made it much easier to ask the kinds of questions I needed to ask to understand what this figure eight was. And sort of to cut to the end of the story, I was told that it had a name, that we could call it the infinity wave because it's representing an infinite source. It's and that this flowing water, very important that it is represented as water and flowing, inherent in that watery flow is this 10th dimensional love and compassion. Now, I've learned a lot about dimensions up at that point, but to identify something as 10th dimensional was not in my lexicon, okay? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I realized this is something that is quite purified. Now, you have to understand that part of me is sitting back with my arms crossed going, right, you know, and the other part of me is just taking in the information and trying to assemble something that makes some sense, which it really didn't. And then I was told through dowsing that I was to start to teach about this and to start in January 2011 and teach one weekend a month for 9 months. And it would actually break down into three. So January, February, March was one workshop, and then April, May, June, et cetera. And I said, but I don't want to teach. And they said, well, it's time. And so I said, but I don't know what I'm teaching. They said, we'll inform you. And then week by week, I received a channeling, which turned out to be a practice. I had seven crystal bowls, and the practice, I would read the practice with the bowl. I doused for which bowl wanted to sing. And I, terrified, started out these workshops and was completely amazed when they actually made a huge difference in people's lives. And I didn't really fully buy in until the last month, until September. So that's the beginning of it. But I have continued to learn. I have been instructed deeply, widely, and been in situations where I've used the wave, sometimes in a very tense situation, sometimes less tense. But this geometry, this tool, I call it a tool, is remarkable, and it's a futuristic tool. So, you know, we're talking here on Wisdom of the Ancients, but you also include things from the future. This is a tool that I was confirmed a couple of years into it by somebody I know who's a medium, who had separately, didn't know what I was doing, separately heard from was asking about spirituality in the future, and all that being sent back was the number eight. And so this is, so this is something that my guides have told me is the way we will relate and spiritually and embody spirituality in the future. I'm just the little Janie Appleseed. And anybody else, I give it away freely. Take the wave. We'll learn it tonight, and I encourage everybody to take it and try it. It's easy to learn, and there's no language involved except for a little pointer here and there, and it is miraculous.
Mm. Well, what an experience. And I'm sure
yes.
you had to undergo a period of trust and surrender, you know, as that information came to you, and then by extension, then through you, you know, there's a certain degree of trust and surrender that's involved in that process. So I'm sure there was a lot of personal development in your own being.
Well, that is the understatement of the century. Because actually a piece of the story I didn't say was at the end of that sound healing workshop where I'd gone to restore myself and reboot. At the very end, the last practice, when I got to the end of it, I had come to such an understanding about what the difficulties of that year were about and teaching me. And I was so grateful for, despite the difficulty of it, what the lessons that I had learned. And and in my mind's eye, I just went prostrate on the floor, because I didn't do that actually, but I did, and I surrendered completely to spirit, and I said, I am a willing vessel, do with me what you will. And so you know, when the wave came to me 3 days later, and when I found out I was supposed to teach, and I said, no, no, I really don't want to do that, they reminded me that I had kind of surrendered. And so be careful what you say.
Yeah,
because And then I had to put on the blindfold and walk the trust walk and step off the cliff. And it was terrifying. At the same time, I always say this, you know, the universe can't catch you if you're not willing to fall. You don't get the payout. The payout is a deep knowing. Now, it doesn't mean I know everything. It's not like that. It's a deep sense that we are part of something much bigger, that there is a vastness that is whatever you want to call it, but love is a big part of it, if not the most important, biggest part. And of course there are nuances, of course there are all kinds of words that we could put on that are totally inadequate, but the idea that I have a purpose, this was the knowing that I came to, I have this purpose, I am connected, I have a message, I am on a mission. And that all came to me in such a way as a result of this trust.
Beautiful.
And it has been beautiful. It has been very scary at times. And
yeah,
it's been the rewards, though, I can't even calculate. You know?
I'm sure. I wanted to have you talk a little bit about the wave itself. You know, have people understand maybe more around what it does. You know, in the intro we mentioned that it is for planetary individual and planetary awakening. So all around the globe, but also for development of the individual, the community, and the Earth. So can you share with everyone listening now, Hope, take us through a very, very brief synopsis of, like, those 9 months, what you taught for 9 months. What were you teaching? What does the wave do? How does it help us? How does it help our own awakening? How does it help the consciousness on the planet? So maybe just give that overview.
Oh, sure. So you can imagine if you were sitting in a bathtub of a highly distilled and purified, like beyond human capacity, really, but a most highly purified love and compassion. You're sitting in a bath of love and compassion, unconditional, infinite love and compassion. I mean, all just imagining that, you start to feel all warm and runny, right? You feel, oh my gosh. Because the water in the bathtub and the water in your body, you know, it all just kind of mushes together, and you realize that, number one, that love and compassion is for oneself, right? And if we begin to open the gateways, open all the little stuck places to inviting that love and compassion in, love for ourselves, compassion for ourselves, from ourselves, and to ourselves and from this infinite source, well, all of a sudden we start to feel really good. So that is the very beginning. Of course, we've been taught by many, many masters through the ages that to love oneself is the number one thing to do. But very few of us know how to do that. Very few of us are really willing deeply to do that. It's stunned me how difficult it was for me, and it was one of the first things that I had to do. I had to love myself in my discomfort with stepping forward as a quote-unquote spiritual teacher. I prefer the word guide or facilitator. So the wave, the infinity wave, is a mechanism that when we invite it into our hearts first, and we'll do that in the practice later, all of a sudden we are gifting ourselves with this beautiful love and compassion. Then we learn how the wave can stretch and shrink to any size. So we stretch the wave to encompass our bodies. These are the practices in my package that we're going to talk about later. But there's one beautiful one where we wrap the wave from under the feet and around the crown of the head, and I call it the infinity cradle. And now the whole body is being washed with this water, water that is the most exquisite element, I think, on the planet in its ability to be so many different forms. And it has so many different temperaments. It can be warm and trickly and comforting. It can rush and clear away blockages. It can have so many. It has so many qualities. And when we bathe ourselves in love and compassion, now we are taking this body, mind, and spirit. Now it's not and emotions. It's not just an etheric thing. It's really quite physical. And we wash our bodies with this, and we wash our minds and our emotions and our spiritual selves with this. Now the whole being goes from being in a 3D sort of a little denser form, and we are uplifted into, and I'm not going to say we go all the way to 10th dimension, but we're lifted up out of 3D. This is the beginning of living a multidimensional life, where we have access to 3D, we can taste, we can enjoy the heat of a fire, we have all our senses, wonderful senses, and can enjoy the world, and yet we are being beckoned to rise up and get ourselves into a higher place, a higher consciousness with which to live our lives and make choices from. So there, the practices that they gave me through the first 3 months. There were three practices each time, so these are the original 9 practices. And each one of them opened a door to a new aspect of the wave. One of the beautiful ways to use it, aside from using it for oneself, is as a communication tool. Now, at the beginning of the call, Ian, I did the infinity with you. I put one end of the loop of the 8 in my heart, and I ran it all the way across the country into your heart on the other side of the country. Hmm. When we do this, now you and I are relating with this 10th dimensional love and compassion as our string between two cups, right? This is so guaranteed we're going to have a higher level, higher quality conversation than we might have otherwise. And this is a beautiful way to relate to somebody who you love, and you can, if you're feeling comfortable enough with that person, to say, oh, let's do the wave before we have a call or before we talk to one another or become intimate. We do a wave with one another, and all of a sudden the conversation is just so flowing, so loving and beautiful and full of ideas. It's amazing. It's also helpful as a communication tool when the conversation is a difficult one. Now, you don't have to tell somebody you're waving them, but it works anyway. So I have had many, many instances where I have been in a tough conversation with, you know, one of my teenagers when they were teenagers, for instance. And as soon as I start waving them, and at that point I turn the water up to be like a rushing river, all of a sudden they start to calm down, nobody's yelling, they start to relax, they start to bat around ideas, and we have a beautiful result. This can happen with a stranger. It's worked in government offices. It's worked in doctor's offices, not just for me, for lots of people. I get tons of feedback. It happened just, we had the most amazing experience in Wales. So I took a group to Ireland and Wales last fall. And we were nearing the end of our time in Wales, and it was an uncharacteristically beautiful 70-degree day up at Mount Snowdon, and where it can be like 40 degrees and raining and horrible, you know, windy and terrible. No, it was 70 degrees. Everybody was out.
Yeah.
And we towards the end of the day, we pulled into this parking lot. Now, I was driving a big van because I had my group with me. And, you know, the roads are tiny in Wales. And, you know, we'd have be holding our breath half the time just to pass another car on the road. Their parking lots are likewise very tiny. So I pull in and I see that there are some motorcycles parked and I want to be very, very careful. So I swing around and I do several back and forths and back and forths to make sure that I don't get anywhere near the motorcycle. However, because the spaces were so tight, when one of our group members popped open her door, it went out a few inches, and in doing so, it just slid by the helmet that was hanging off one of these bikes. And I didn't really realize what had happened. I was still in the driver's seat, and all of a sudden, through the open door, I'm looking at this gentleman who is raging mad, because our door has damaged his helmet. His helmet cost 700 pounds and this and that. Mm. And he is just, and at first I thought he was joking, but no, he was quite, quite serious. So I said, okay. I am so sorry. I was being very careful. And here's the thing. Everybody in the van and I had been doing a practice not 10 minutes before. We had come off this blissful experience. We were so in the wave bubble, as I call it, that we were practically floating. And this guy stood there, and he blinked a couple of times, and then he said, oh, you know, it's probably okay. It's fine. It's, you know, oh, it feels terrible. I shouldn't have gotten so angry. And, you know, and in a nanosecond, he had completely gone from rage to apologizing. And, it, you know, this is what happened. Everybody in the car, when we finally sat down to have our tea, and he came over and gave us a gift of crumpets or something, they all said, oh, my God, that we saw it happening in real time. In less than, like, 3 seconds, this guy turned on a dime. So those are the kinds of things that can happen as a communication tool. And then when we understand that every single thing we can do for ourselves to raise our own consciousness, this is not new. I'm not saying anything that's new here. If we use this tool, it happens more quickly. The promise of the wave is that it's easy. It is easy to imagine this figure eight made of flowing water. You stick it in your heart. You stick it in your head. You stick it between your eyes. You wrap your body in it. You go out into the world. You use it as a communication tool, silently or not. You just use it, and things flow. It's aligning the mutable reality that is around us. Everything looks solid, but it really isn't. It's all moving. When we take that moving energy that we can't really see and we apply a geometry to it that has a characteristic of love and compassion, now we're directing reality. Now things that can move will move, and the waters will part for us. It happens over and over. We rub our eyes and we say we can't believe what just happened, because most of us, and, you know, I include myself, because in the beginning it didn't seem possible what was happening in front of me. And yet it kept happening. And so now there are so many people who have tried it and who tell me it's I can't really dispute it. I can just keep offering it to the world as I am with you and your beautiful listeners.
Wonderful, wonderful. So it's a... if I remember correctly, you said it's a 10th dimensional energy of love and compassion. So when we, you know, put our intentions towards this, do we put our intentions towards the outcome, or do we invite the wave in, and then the wave supports us with the outcome for the greatest good of all? Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Yes. Oh, very good questions. I just love talking to you, Ian. You're so great. You really are. You really are. So, first of all, one of the things I learned along the way with this wave is that the setting of intentions, although I think it's a good thing in general, most of the time we are setting the intentions on a too small level. We're not opening it to the things we can't imagine. So I tend to dial down the intention because I don't want to be limiting, self-limiting, right? I invite, and that's the right word, I invite the wave into a situation. And I wave the situation. I will take a big figure eight over all the people involved or into the room where it's happening, and I set the water in motion. I invite the water to move around. Sometimes when I'm doing this, even though usually I think of the wave initially as a blue, it will all of a sudden I will see, oh, it's a lot of orange and purple waves in there, or it's stacked. It looks more like an hourglass. It's more of a three-dimensional form now. And because when you invite the wave in, it's automatically going to rise everything up to the highest and best. Because we're talking about 3D. When we apply 10D to 3D, it really opens the envelope. And we can't imagine the beauty and the elegance of the outcomes. I can't even tell you how many times a much better scenario than I could have even thought of comes around. And it comes around easily. I know this sounds magical, and it is. It is magic, but I'm humble when I say that because, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say mm-hmm. is that I spoke of it as a communication tool. Well, we can also communicate with trees, animals, rocks, sun, planets, moon, earth. We can communicate with anything, including our higher source. We can run this wave right out of the crown of our heads, and we can invite, it can go as high as it needs to, and then we meditate with that, and ideas will drop in. The platform will open like a pop-up book, you know, where you were once reading just regular book, two-dimensional pages, all of a sudden you turn the page and it's like a big pop-up book. That's when you know, oh, wait a minute, I'm not in Kansas anymore. I'm accessing more information from a higher perspective. And it is absolutely fantastic. So if we want to grow our intuition, we want to grow that connection with spirit or whatever you want to call it, this is a beautiful, beautiful way to do that.
We do. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
No question. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're listening to you. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. You know, the first time that you brought this on the show a year ago, there was a wonderful response. But I think this time there's something a little bit deeper. I think I feel a depth here and a few veils that are being lifted off. It's almost like we're more ready to embrace this this time. It just feels this time feels quite special, actually. Really, really does. And so wonderful that we have access through you, and you'll take us through that process, but also through the teachings that you'll be sharing with people through your program, but how to access this and how to invite the wave in. Let me ask you this, because we are also talking about intuitive dowsing. So let me ask you how the two go hand in hand.
Well, As I explained, I would never have been, I don't even know what I would have done if I'd had this figure eight floating around and I couldn't understand what it was about. None of this would have happened. I would have still be walking around with a figurehead in front of my face. But the dowsing is interesting because I started dowsing many years ago because I actually started this thing called staging for houses. I learned feng shui, and I started to, you know, get houses ready to go on the market. This is a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And,
you started staging?
Well, I did. I did. Actually, no, I really did. But that's another story. But I learned feng shui as a result, and my teacher actually introduced me to dowsing with these little wire hangers because there are three different schools of feng shui, and sometimes they conflict. Mm. And so you can do a whole bunch of math to figure out what the happy medium should be between these different schools, or you can just douse. And I went for the dowsing. So I basically started with these little wire hangers, you know, shaped in the L shape. So you take a regular wire hanger and bend it around and then cut the letter L. And the short end goes in your hands and the long end goes straight out. And I was kind of nervous to do it, but then I started in my closet. Literally, I was in the closet. And I would say things like, well, is today the best day I should go to the grocery store? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Which I actually highly recommend if people learn dowsing or want to learn, they start with very low risk questions. And then over time, I started to ask more important questions, and I made conscious decisions to go with the answers that I received. And as I did that, I strengthened this conversation. I didn't know who I was talking to or what I was talking to, and I really didn't care so much. I was just exploring the communication, and this is where the trust began. And so that by the time the infinity wave came along, my trust level with the dowsing was such a high level that I could then go the next step into, you know, working with the wave and trusting the guidance to do what they asked me to do. So intuitive dowsing, I call it intuitive dowsing instead of dowsing because for me, once I start working with the rods, it opens up a channel in my being. I start to hear things and see things. Words drop into my head, and that gives me an ability to go beyond yes and no questions, which is helpful because most people, I mean, we can boil things down to yes and no, but it gets really much more interesting and depthful if we go beyond, if we can go a little further. So over the years, I've developed a line of questioning and a line of leaning into what a person is saying to me. I wave with them first, so we establish a connection. So all of the conversation is happening in the wave to begin with. And then as we proceed, I get these hunches and these nudges, and my dowsing rods confirm if I'm on the right path or not. I've been surprised many times about what the answers are. So it's not, I really can't have an attachment to anything that's said or done because, well, that's not helpful. So I move to the side. I move my hope self over to the side,
mm-hmm.
and I just become a conduit, and then I'm working in the wave. So I'm accessing my multidimensional self, and also the information that's coming in from others. And I also access straight to the universe. So it's a collective of information that comes in during one of the sessions. The beauty of it is that, at least when I do it, we can get so much done in half an hour. It's astounding. I mean, I've had people just, you know, come in one way, exit the other, and they're, you know, their heads are kind of spinning, but they they also many times will say, you know what, that's kind of what I thought, but I didn't want to say it out loud. So anyway, it's really fun for me. I love it. I love to help people move more quickly to their next step in life and eliminate all the worry and the stress of worry and just get a clear-headed direction.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this now, and maybe I should have asked you this beforehand. So dowsing, so I think people are familiar with dowsing to some degree, and I'm a dowser, although I actually have my rods. Actually, I brought them out for this chat we're having, but I mostly use a pendulum, which is a form of dowsing. And, you know, I think most people understand that it's at the very basic, it's channeling truth. If you're an open vessel and you can receive that truth, you're channeling the yes-no truth. But it's a lot more than that, especially with what you mentioned, you know, with your gifts that come into this. But could you just, again, give the synopsis of what is dowsing from a divine perspective, you know, as opposed to looking for water, you know, from a divine perspective?
Well, it is... It is the oldest, I believe, it's the oldest energy technology on the planet. And I think on your page there you have where I wrote that it's depicted on the cave walls in southwestern France that are at least 8,000 years old, if not older. So it is a way to find water and gas, minerals, things in the earth. And it is it's as many people as you ask, as many dowsers as you ask this question to, you might get a different answer. So I'm going to be very clear that I'm only answering for myself on this one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it is a direct line to universal source. It is a way to bring in the truth, as you said, and it can be, especially if we are very uncluttered in our receptivity, it can deliver truth in a almost starkly stark and how can I say it doesn't mince words, let's put it that way. It's very direct, and I appreciate that. I like to cut through clutter. One of the things that I was taught along the way is that when we are energy workers or healers or whatever, what can happen is our desire to help can actually create a bit of a waffle between direct source and us. Now, what do I mean by that? Because I can tell people are going, what? It's that sometimes, and I have been there, so I'm speaking from my own experience, the desire to help can actually almost close off some of the energy source that is available to us, because we are somehow attached to outcome. Our desire to help is a kind of attachment to helping, to wanting it to be better. So what I've had to learn along the way is to put even my desire to help to the side. Clear out anything that might look like emotional, anything. I mean, literally, push it all over to the side. It has its place, but not when we're dowsing and not when we're actually channeling healing energy. We want to be as crystal clear as we can be, almost non-personal, like a column, a clear column. So what I've found is when that can be achieved, and with practice it can be achieved, then the dowsing is quick, straightforward, and very, very helpful. More helpful than my emotive helping would have been. Now, we all have guides, and I believe there is access to angelic forms, all kinds of guidance up there, out there, around us. So it could be at some points in time that what's coming through is guidance from the other person's higher self or a dear departed one. Sometimes a dear departed one comes in and makes themselves known as well. Sometimes a dear departed one from another life comes in and directs me to go to a past life. Sometimes my healing team comes in and directs me to do a healing. It kind of depends. I picture it almost like a revolving door that whoever or whatever is the expert in that particular moment for that particular person comes in. And they're in the room until they're done, and then the door revolves again, and the next one comes in. So I'm kind of aware of a revolving door way up over my head. Sometimes, not always. So I don't know if that's how it is for me. And that's all I can really speak to.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Let's go to the phones, Hope. And if you're on the phone, everyone, star 2 to raise your hand. And, of course, Hope has her dowsing rods. So this would be a wonderful opportunity. Oh, there go the hands. Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so star 2 to raise your hand. Or it's going to be harder if you're actually on the web. But if there's a question that we can ask on the web, then we'll get to that. But it's going to be harder because there might be some clarifying questions required. So I'm literally going to open up the phone lines, and then we'll take some of these and then some web calls, and we'll do the process at the end. So still got a lot of the show left. So let's go to North Hollywood, California, and the last four digits are 8097. 8097, North Hollywood, and you're live with Hope.
Yes, hi. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for calling me. Mm-hmm. I just received an email from Europe that one of my condos are going on a chopping block because of overdue homeowner associations, and my dad's girlfriend has been suing me for more than 10 years. So kind of added up, and thank you. While I was listening to you, I'm opening up this email that is going on the, like an auction, like a quick sale from the people mm-hmm. that owe you. And I just kind of let it go. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I just fed my hummingbird who's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so that's good. And I have my two dogs here, and I'm looking around my beautiful apartment, and I'm like,
How can we best support you with Hope today?
Oh my God. I was trying to like brainstorm how can I come up with like some, you know, X thousands of dollars, or just forget it and let it go and get on with my life. And it's been keeping me from not getting on with my life. I've been trying to save this thing forever. And finally I just go on and do my project here. And it was incredible that you said if you don't jump, then the universe can't save you. I gotta really jump now, because that was my little lily pad, like a security thingy, and now it's gone and I don't even know how to save it. So can you douse me what to do, like a little, shall I try to save it or just let it go?
Okay. What is your name, please?
Oh, Alexandra. Thank you so much.
Alexandra. Okay, Alexandra, I think the best thing to do is to ask, is it in Alexandra's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to let that condo go? The condo that belonged to your father, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yeah, it is in your highest good to let that go already. Absolutely.
Oh, really? Oh,
yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Just let it go?
Just let it go. Yep. You know, what they're saying to me right now is that there's a new chapter happening or in store for you. And this condo represents old stories, old world stuff. No, it's like they're showing me shackles around your ankles. So it's really it's going to free you, Alexandra. So why don't you sit with that and see how that feels? And
a lot of domestic violence went on in that house. I grew up in that house, and a lot of domestic violence went on in that house, and
well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of sexual abuse for me went on in that house. And it's like in the walls and stuff, and the neighbors.
Okay,
well,
so,
thank you so much.
So that is time to move along and have a beautiful new chapter. Thank you, Alexandra. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so let's go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the last four digits are 2423. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, you're on Live with Hope.
Hello, my name is Tina.
Hi, Tina.
I'm so glad I got on the call tonight because I've been looking for another form of instead of muscle testing. So anyway, I experience a lot of different things on my security system here, our house. And I've seen some really interesting egg-shaped forms, like in a light, and they sort of glow. And then even look like a dragon thing across the street. And this went on for almost 45 minutes one night. And I'm just wondering if there's anything, like, is it of the light? Is it something I should be look into? Or should I just let it be and just have the interesting photos and videos or anything?
Hi, Tina. Very nice to be talking with you. You know, it's interesting because I have two friends who've had very similar things happening to them.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep. I wish they were on the call right now.
My whole heart's going because, wow.
Yeah. So let's see if we could figure out a little bit. So I'm going to just ask if I can figure out anything for you. So does it look likely, can I ask and figure out something about Tina's egg-shaped friends?
Well, it's like a spider web looking thing at one point, and then it went into shapes, and then you can see them opening up, and it's a long story.
So
many things.
Are these, they're basically lights. Yeah, mostly.
Right.
Light.
It's been when it was windy outside, too, but I've seen them other times, too.
Are these egg-shaped lights? Okay, we're just going to open this up to.
Right.
Are they spirits of some sort? Ghosts, spirits? No. Are they ETs of some sort? Yes, they are. Friendly ETs, yes, they are.
Yay,
are they drawn to Tina? Are they drawn to Tina for a reason? Yes, they are. is it because Tina has a high vibration? Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. So, are they harmful in any way? They're not harmful. Are they dragons? No.
Okay, because across the street, the one looked like a huge dragon almost. I mean, it changes shapes. There was eggs all here by my house, but across the street, there was this big form on top of the building. I mean, it changed shapes. I have pictures sometimes. If you want to give me an email, and I'll send some to you if you want.
Let me ask.
That's later.
Is the one across the street of the same
shapes.
Variety? No. That's a different situation.
Okay.
But
yes,
yours are friendly little ETs.
Yes.
Let me ask this. Do they want anything from Tina? Yes, they do.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to figure what that is.
Yeah, we'll have to
figure
it out some other
Tina,
time,
I'm
I think. I don't want to take anybody's time.
I'm guessing that you should stick around for Hope's session.
I'm thinking I should, too.
You should stick
happy.
Around. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
I
mean,
I needed this so much.
The amount of information that can come through, it's pretty remarkable. Okay, Tina, love to see you.
Thanks
for calling in.
Thanks so much. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, let's go to, I don't know, it's Washington, Virginia, and it's 9248, and
yes. You're live. Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. This is Kara, and I need to move from where I'm living currently. My question is, do I stay in the area or move further away?
Okay. Hi, Kara. All right, let's...
Hi.
So, is it in Kara's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to move? I'm just going to ask, I always start from the widest perspective, and the answer is yes. And is it in her highest good to move to somewhere in the area near where she is now? Yes.
Really?
I'm just going to ask just for fun, would it be in her highest good to move further away? Nope, not at this time.
All righty, I'm here because of the mountains, so I guess I'm still here.
You're still
you
there.
Can, you,
I don't.
You can narrow it down. Sorry.
Well, what I would do is I would also probably now want to look at time, because it may be that you're there for another year or two or three. I don't go much beyond that, but it looks like for at least a couple of more years, you're where you are.
Thank
you. Did you,
you
have
so
a,
much,
an idea of where you? Okay. Okay.
Where I want to move to?
Yeah.
Just well, if it's staying in the area, then it's either closer to the mountains or farther out into the country.
Closer to the mountains.
Oh, really?
Well,
wow. Do you have a suggestion, Ian?
No, I don't. I was going to say stay tuned, because we need to talk about your session. So a lot of these answers and the deeper information will come when they work with you privately.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. It's great.
Okay, Kara.
Good, you're
all
welcome.
Right. Good. Okay, love. Bye
thank
now.
You.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, let's do this. So, you know, obviously the information's coming through fast and furiously, so to speak. And I think people are very interested in this type of work and being able to get that that stark truth that comes through. You know, when you take yourself out of it, you mentioned take the hope out of it, the person hope, take yourself out of it and let that truth come through. So why don't we do this? I know one part of the offer that you have here, Hope, is a private session where you do the intuitive dowsing, and we can talk about that. But let's start with the offer with the Infinity Wave. And so everyone, if you are on the webinar page, click on the orange button below Hope's photograph if you're on the webcast page, and that'll take you to Hope's offer, which is titled The Infinity Wave. And if you're not on the webinar page and you'd like to follow along, you'll be typing in WOTA Summit. That's WOTA Summit. Summit is SUMMIT.com. And then /, hope, HOPE, and then number 4. Everything's lowercase. WOTA Summit.com /HOPE. Hope 4, and that will take you to the page so you can follow along visually as Hope takes us through this. So Hope, if you don't mind, take us through the Infinity Wave first, and then share with people also what they can expect working with you privately in your intuitive dowsing session.
Sure. So As I mentioned, there were 9 original practices that comprised the first workshop, which I then repeated, and some things got added on later, but these are the original 9. So first there's an introduction to the infinity wave, where I talk a little bit about how important this is for our evolution, that even when we get into sticky places and feeling like we're not making an advancement, when we apply the wave, suddenly we start to move along again. And lots of synchronicities happen, lots of things out of the blue, and there's movement and flow. In the second practice, it's called the Infinity Cradle, which I also mentioned before, where the wave is wrapped around the top of the head and the bottom of the feet. This is the most calming, it's just tremendously wonderful, the Infinity Cradle. I do it when I get in bed at night, and it helps me to fall asleep. It's very calming. The other thing it does is it helps us to experience what it's like to be suspended and not in gravity. So that's important, because in order for us to break out of 3D, we need to experience being out of gravity and out of time. So that second practice, the Infinity Cradle, gives us a sense of being suspended and not in gravity. The third one is called Body Appreciation, and this is just a love fest for all the body systems. You go through it. If our bodies have little happy faces on every single cell, then we're going to be doing really, really well. Most of the times, however, there's dark corners where, you know, old memories or things that aren't happy are coagulating. We don't want that. So we go through the entire body with love and compassion and inviting the wave in to clear it all out, clean it all out, and make it sparkly again. It's a beautiful, beautiful practice. The fourth practice is called Swim in the Earth. So along the way, for me, I've been drawn to a more shamanic approach than I had in the first part of my spiritual life. And becoming one with the earth is one of the first things that we would do in that kind of exploration. So this is a way to experience the divinity of the earth. We tend to think of when we hear the phrase as above, so below, we think of something above us and then us on the surface as the below. My experience, as taught through the infinity wave, is that, no, the below is the earth. So you can almost imagine that the figure eight, the bottom bubble, the bottom loop, if you put the earth in there, that would be the appropriate setup. So there's equal parts divinity above, equal parts divinity of the earth itself. So this practice gives one the experience of that. The fifth one is called time travel. And what they're finding now is exactly what they talk about in this practice. I watched something the other night where they were talking about time as a wave, as a bendable, fluctuating wave. And when I started to channel this practice, I didn't know I didn't know what it was going to be about, but the first 3 words or 4 words were time is a wave. And so when I heard this the other day being said by somebody who's very famous and has a spiritual leader saying time is a wave, I practically fell off my chair. So this is a way to experience being out of time and playing with time. And picturing it and experiencing it as flexible. And also, within our command, we can shrink and expand time. How about that? Okay, practice 6 is called Power Cell. This practice is just phenomenal for if you have to go do something that is challenging, where you need all your inner resources, you need every bit of strength and valor that you have. You do the Power Cell practice, and you will get it. I had a woman write me a few years ago to say that that practice alone helped her to stop her alcoholism. She said she had tried everything for years and nothing had worked until she did the PowerCell practice, and that gave her the strength and courage and tenacity to break her habit. So I highly, highly recommend it. And by the way, you know, I take people to places around the planet, the antiquities. This is where Ian and I really connect on the antiquity part. Because these places, so of course everybody knows about Stonehenge and Giza, but there are lots of others, Machu Picchu, there are places in South Africa, southwestern France, Ireland, England, all over the place. And when we go to these places, we can plug in to the power, the kind of a power cell that has been created by civilizations before us. They understood, they could douse the energy lines, and when they all came together and converged, they would put the rocks there in particular formations, and they would basically be like acupuncture, capturing that energy. And it was a, so even if it was a so-called grave, it was also a, like a chapel or without a roof, you know, it would be a place to worship, a place to have, where, that had very high spiritual connectivity above and below. So that's why we go to these places now, because they are supercharged. They are their kind of power cell. Okay, practice seven, crystal columns. Now, this is a really beautiful, beautiful practice that has a ton of applications. It not only feels good to do it, and it was the most divine, if I can use that word, experience with all the practices up to that point that I'd had. It is a way to basically be in your own infinity wave column where nothing negative can get in, but it's not fear-based at all. It's more that the emanations from in this column don't allow anything but light in. And if you're in a crowded place or at a reception or in Grand Central Station or in an airport, whatever, and you want to feel strong and safe and collected, you do the crystal column, and it'll just help you sail through everything. Journey to Your Grace Garden is the eighth practice, which is a beautiful experience of gratitude, and it is a it is also a letting go of the things that no longer serve. And then finally, the practice nine is the Infinity Wheel. Now, this is a fantastic practice to do with a group, but you can also do it on your own. And if you imagine a ceiling fan of figure eight loops, and there's gigantic potential for this particular kind of energy fan, this energy, we call it the infinity wheel, and where it can go and what it can do. And this practice, it gives you all the instructions on how to do that. I've used it many times to begin a group. We all walk in the room. I don't ask for names. I don't ask for any of that stuff. We stand together. I tell them what to do, and boom, that group is now held together in love and compassion, and the workshop ends up being phenomenal because of how we started, and you can start and end and use it for whatever. It's very, very beautiful. So those are the first nine practices, and that's basically, wow, if, you know, if you want to use the wave like I was speaking about earlier, just to connect with, for communication skills and all that. That's what I call the daily wave. That's great. But if you want to do a deep dive and move a step forward on your evolutionary path, because that's what this wave is here to give us, then these nine practices will take you there. That's what they're here to do. And by the way, do not gobble them. They are meant to be sipped and digested, and maybe even played over a few times before moving to the next one, because they will start to rearrange the world, your world, and so you don't want to go too quickly.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Hope. So are they meant to be done sequentially? You know,
yes,
one,
yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Okay. Because, you know, some of them, for example, you mentioned, well, all of them, actually. Like, I do want to gobble because, you know, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, how these would apply in my life. And I'm sure people on the phone and on the webcast are doing the same thing. You know, if we have a workshop we're running, we might want to do the infinity wheel. You know, that power cell, you know, you mentioned that if people have addictions, you know, with whatever, you know, that one woman you mentioned, she happened to have maybe an addiction to alcohol, but there's other addictions. There could be TV, there could be food, there's so many things. You know,
yeah.
Maybe we relate to that one. But your guidance for us is to just surrender, trust the process, and do them one at a time, right?
Well, it's not just my guidance. I mean, this is what I was told to do.
Okay.
The way
Thank
they
you.
Originally
Thank
doled
you.
Them out was one a week for the month of January. So I had three for the first workshop. Then one a week for the month of February. I had the next three. So they literally spoon-fed me, and I introduced them to the workshop participants. And during those 3 weeks, when they just received their, you know, they had the three practices come on the weekend, but then they had 3 weeks to work with them and digest them. So they were ready for the next three.
Okay.
Now, that's how spaced out they used to be. Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
if I run a workshop, I do a 3.5-day workshop, and I put them all in, but I do them in order.
Yeah.
When they first came in and I didn't understand what the rhyme or reason was, but when I stood back at the end and I looked back, I went, oh, my God, the elegance in this is – I could never have figured this out. I could never – none of it. You know, it's a building block situation. So,
well,
yes.
I think this is something that so many of us could really integrate into our lives just for the, you know, the elegance and the grace that it would really bring into our lives into so many different aspects and situations. I think, you know, we pray for grace, and this is certainly my view that this is a way to, you know, introduce that grace or additional grace and flow into our lives. But of course, everyone is on the phone right now, and everyone who's going to be purchasing this is going to be having access to it. So we don't have the workshops. So what would you suggest? Would you suggest one a week?
You know, it's really up to the person. One a week would be fine. Some people, over the years, some people, you know, work on the same practice for a couple of weeks. And then they move on. It's really a sense of readiness, and that's established by feeling, not by thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and here I want to say something, Ian, and this is maybe a little controversial, but one of the things that I've discovered along the way is that we are such a society of achievers, and we tend to apply that to everything, and often we do the same thing with spirituality. We want to you know, get this one and get that one and da 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 da, and then we want to, you know, and it's not really like that. What I've found, because I've been asked to slow down and digest, I've had to go through this change of not being about achieving anything, but about allowing myself to be impacted and therefore to grow, but grow from a different place, not in that head forward achievement place that we've all been raised in. It's a different gear. So when we sort of succumb to these practices and allow them to work and go through the week, you know, print out a little image of the infinity wave and put it up on your refrigerator or your mirror or whatever in your car, and sort of get yourself, okay, I'm just going to play with this idea of this energetic. And something will happen, maybe it won't, but let's just play with it and see what happens. And all of a sudden, life just starts to morph a bit. And you go, oh, that's different. Oh, I'm sensing things a little differently than I did before. I like this. It's not from my head. God bless our heads. But it's coming from a different place. And that's why you don't want to just gobble. Let this energetic work its way into your life, you know, and watch it unfold. Watch things start to shift. You'll stand back in amazement. So that's pretty much how I've come to approach life in general now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. So you did some readings with people in the beginning of, well, earlier on in the call, and of course there's a lot of questions. So if people would like to work with you in private, you do have that as part of the package. You have the intuitive dowsing session. So could you tell people a little bit about what happens in that session and what they can expect, you know, kind of on the other side?
Sure. Well, as I demonstrated in the call, you know, I can very quickly answer a question of, you know, whether I should move or not and that sort of thing. However, we can also get down underneath the whys and the wherefores of why it's, for instance, Kara should move to the mountains. What is it about the mountains? What are the mountains saying to her? What is her, you know, what's unfolding for her, where being in the mountains, it has a particular message. And we just start to peel back the layers and get to the nugget of a situation very, very quickly and efficiently. That's what I really love to do, is to get to the nugget. Once we understand the core of the onion, then so many other things fall into place, and we can make decisions based on that knowledge of the nugget, so to speak. So, as I said, I don't know at the beginning of the session where we're going to go with it, whether we're sometimes going to head into a past life or a healing or whatever, but there's hardly anything that cannot be up for, you know, how do I want to say this, up for review with the rods. Just about anything can be taken apart and figured out through the rod guidance.
Mm. And I think some of that comes from your own intuition. There are some people on the web asking, how does this relate to open-ended questions that are not yes and no? So could you talk to that a little bit? Because some people might have questions like that that aren't necessarily yes or no.
Well, if somebody came to me and said, I just feel really stuck and I don't know what to do about it, I would say, okay. I probably start off by saying, well, let's see if we can identify if it's an overall stuckness or if there's a particular area of your life that is stuck and therefore holding everything else back. So then I would go through relationships, family, even health, and if any one of the finances, you know, it could be a list of things. If any one of these came back a yes, oh, I go, okay. And then I'd say, well, is that the only one? And then it would say yes or no. And so we'd narrow it down. And then we'd go one by one. Let's say it's relationships. And I doused that it was family relationships. And then I would find out if it was from a past relationship or present. And we'd scan and we'd figure out, And again, I'd be guided because of the words that I see and hear and the pictures that I get. I'll be sort of guided to, until we can pin the nail on the donkey, you know, we can find the place where there's an issue. Sometimes it's a situation where a person has a present issue, but I will ask when this issue came into being in their lives. Was it before birth, during birth, first year, second year, third year, et cetera? And I can't tell you how many times, for instance, it would be like, oh, when you were three. Well, something desperately difficult happened when you were three. Oh, well, actually, yes, that's when my mother went in the hospital and I had to live with my grandmother. Or, you know, things like that come out. And then we get to unpack that. And then we can do a healing around it. When there's understanding about the nugget, then the healing can occur. To be able to get to that, you know, within a half hour or sometimes longer, an hour, is pretty invaluable. And, you know, that's why I do it, because the quicker we can get to that, the better off we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even with some of the callers, you could really peel back the layers pretty fast. Even if they're, you know, the yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Like, should I go there? Should I do this? Should I move? Should I not move? You know, should I, you know, it's pretty, you get to the truth very, very quickly. And so for people who are maybe facing situations where they're maybe not trusting their own guidance, or for whatever reason, just feel like, you know, getting either a second opinion or have a major life challenge that they're facing, or they have a relationship issue, or, you know, maybe jobs or family. It really doesn't matter. Anyone who has a desire to have some guidance come through would be really benefited by having a session with you. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I think so, because, you know, we all have questions. And
yeah,
let's be clear,
yeah,
this is not fortune telling. You know, I don't really look beyond 2 years anyway, but it's I don't ask questions like, you know, should I do something, or should you go? And it's not like that. I'm always asking what's in the highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good for somebody. And quite often, I'll get an answer that is maybe 50%. And then I have to go back and I say, well, is it in their highest physical good? Yes or no. Is it in their highest mental good? Yes or no. Emotional good, et cetera. Because what can happen is, yes, it's in your highest physical good, because maybe the money is good, maybe it's very stable, maybe, you know, there are other foundational reasons why this is a good idea, but it's driving you crazy mentally and emotionally. You're attached to another situation, and so then we go, well, is there something that can be done about the emotional or mental aspects of this? Can things be reframed so that it would then somehow fall into being in the highest good overall? And if the answer is yes, then we work on what those fixes would be. So it isn't just finding out what the nugget is. It's also problem solving. And again, I'm not drawing from 3D. I'm drawing from the pop-up book, the big magic pop-up book in the sky, you know. And so all these ideas and solutions come in that are beyond my little mind, and they end up being just a brilliant platter of options for whoever is asking the question. And it also teaches us not to think so concretely that it's only a yes or no answer. We break it down, you know, because a lot of times we do things just because emotionally it's a yes, but the other aspects of it, the physical, the mental, and spiritual, not so much. But we're very emotional beings, many of us, and so we want to do that thing that's, you know, pulling us emotionally, but that's not the only piece of it. So
yeah,
we really need to break it down and understand where we or where we come from when we're making decisions, and then how to broaden that. So it gets very far-reaching and kind of cool that way.
Yeah, okay.
And the other thing
wonderful.
Is you said one
yeah.
thing. Well, I want to say one last thing.
Okay.
You said people might not trust their intuition. And I have a bit of a second crusade, and that is to help people to trust their intuition. I want people to get the feedback that their intuitive sense about something was right. And when we have a dowsing session and they say to me, you know, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to say it, or I was too afraid to act on it, I love that, because then I can say, yes, you were right. Trust that voice. It's good. So that's just kind of a cherry on the top of the sundae, you know, when we get to do a dowsing session.
Beautiful. So that is available, everyone, for on the Wisdom Summit. You can do the option one, or option two also includes the Infinity Wave and a private session with Hope. So if you feel the resonance there and you feel called to work with Hope, then by all means, and if you're not looking at the page right now, you'll get the link via email. So watch your email if you're not on the page. So let's do this. I wanted to take a couple more questions, Hope, and then we'll finish with your crystal bowl meditation. So let me see if we can do something from the web. I want to make sure if we go there. What can we do for the web? Okay. Oh, this isn't a question, by the way, but while I'm looking, this is from Lisa in Kissimmee. She says, I heard Hope speak about the Infinity Wave several years ago. I've been using it every day since. I use it for dogs when I hear barking in the neighborhood, and it calms them down almost immediately. Oh, that's pretty remarkable, Lisa. That's pretty remarkable. Thanks for sharing that.
That's great. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. All right. Okay, so this is Virginia from Stewart, and she's asking, can you possibly comment on whether it is in my best interest to open myself as a conduit for source energy or as a channel for creative expression? So as a conduit for source energy or a channel for creative expression?
Well, I'm not dowsing this answer. I perceive them as one and the same.
Yeah.
So I think this is where we get into a little bit of the inadequacy of language. If you think, what is the name of the person, please?
It was Virginia.
Virginia. If you just imagine that hollow tube, and anything can come down that tube right into you. So it could be a muse. It could be to help you with your creative expression. It could be source energy. No matter what words we use, I think it's easier to picture an image of opening that hollow tube and allowing whatever wants to come through to come through. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. That's going to be easier. So we're going to go to Hyannis, Massachusetts. Was it MA? That's Massachusetts, right?
It sure is.
All right. 4030, Hyannis, and you're on live.
Hi, this is Patricia. Hi, Hope.
Hi, Patricia.
I was so excited when I saw that you were going to be on that I clicked on and did the whole series. So thank you. Thank you, Ian, for doing it. And I have a question,
yeah.
Hope. Yeah. I've known Hope for 20 years and watched all this, and I am so proud of you and so happy for you. It's mind-blowing. So I have a question about Tuning Into Spirit,
okay.
The book. And the book came out in honor of my mother and the Divine Feminine last year, for Mother's Day, not this year Mother's Day, but last year. And I'm wondering if there's something more that I should be doing with it rather than just letting it speak for itself on Amazon and on my website. Is there something else I should be doing?
Are you talking about to get it a, get a wider audience, reading audience?
Mm-hmm. I just started doing volume two, and I'm not sure I should be even doing that if I'm splitting my energy from volume one.
Okay. Okay. Great. Let's see. So is it in Patricia's highest? Well, you know, I'm going to ask this two ways, because on the one hand, it's what's in your highest good, and on the other hand, it's really what's in the highest good for the book itself. So we're going to ask first for you, is it in Patricia's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to figure out other ways to promote Volume 1, Tuning into Spirit? And the answer is yes. Does that mean that, that it would be in her highest good on all four levels to put writing Volume 2 to the side? Yes. Now let's ask about the book itself. Is it in the highest good of the book and the potential readers of the book for Patricia to focus on spreading the word about the book more? Yes, it is. So it seems that that book needs to get out there more. So finding a PR person, shopping it, maybe going to you know, the fairs or publishers, all of the above, they're saying yes to. And they're very enthusiastic about it, too. That's the other thing about dowsing, is that the rods have ways of moving that communicate the strength of their answer. So if they're really fast and they go in quite abruptly, then I know it's a real yes. You know, it's an adamant yes, enthusiastic yes. And in this case, they're very enthusiastic about you getting that book out.
Is there one thing in particular that would work better than anything else that I should focus on with this to get it out there?
That would require a bit of a laundry list to go down.
Okay.
Let me see. Is there one thing in particular? No. There are a variety of things. So what those are would take a little more time. But, yeah. There's a multi-pronged approach.
Okay.
Of some sort.
Thank you so much. I will be calling you.
Okay.
Thank you. Much love to you. Thanks a lot.
Good to
Bye
talk
now.
To you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Hope, this would probably be a good time for you to take us to that process, that crystal ball process. So if you wouldn't mind just telling everyone what it is. And then, by all means, it's up to you. You can just take us right through.
All right. Well, this is called Widening the Heart. And this is a beautiful practice that was given to me as I was meditating in a little chapel in Glastonbury, England. And I have found it to just be a perfect way to introduce the infinity waves to people. So I am playing a big old bowl here, and you'll hear me strike the bowl three times, and then the bowl will start to hum. Not everybody can hear the sound very well, depending on their phones. So don't worry if you can't hear it well. It's just a frequency that is traveling through the lines of the sound, and that should be that's a good thing for your body and your spirit. I will speak it, you know, give you guidance through the practice. And when we get to the end, I leave just a little bit of silent time, which is when the sound can integrate more deeply into your being. And then I'll strike the bowl again, and we'll come back to the room. All right, I'm going to take my headset off and put you on speaker. Okay. So let's begin by imagining that running from the crown of your head down through your sacrum is a tube. We call this the pranic tube. And to begin with, we'll focus on the section of the tube that runs from your heart center down, down through the sacrum, down through the floor, and down into the earth. With a deep exhale, imagine yourself moving downwards, exhaling deeply into the earth, and allowing all your cares and concerns to travel into the earth, where they will be transmuted into something positive. Exhaling deeply down and inhaling back into the heart center, whatever you imagine the earth holds for you. So this could be her nurturing, her undying love for us, her generosity, whatever you imagine the earth holds for you, breathe that back into your heart center now. We'll just breathe like this for a few moments. Imagine the section of the tube that runs from the heart center upwards. This time, exhaling upwards and out from the crown like a giant fountain spraying up and out, spreading in all directions, expanding, and breathing back into the heart center. All that you imagine lies in the realm around you and above you. This could be divine wisdom, light, love, whatever you imagine that realm holds for you. Breathe that back into your heart center, and we'll do that for a few moments. You're breathing in from above and below at the same time, and then exhaling to above and below at the same time. And as you continue to breathe this way, the pranic tube may ease and widen a little. And we realize, mixing the above and below in the tube, that we are that exquisite instrument between these two great spiritual realms. That we have signed up to be here on this planet to receive information from above and below, and to incorporate that into our lives and then express it through our actions. We are the conduit of both equally spiritual realms. And now imagine that floating in your heart center is this little figure eight made of flowing water, the infinity wave. Now at this point, just observe it. And if you have a hard time imagining things, you can take your finger and just trace a little figure eight over your heart center, just to get it going. And you can observe what color your infinity wave is and which way it's turned.
and what the flow, the pace of flow of the water is. Notice you are not making this happen, you are observing it. And as you notice it, see if it is having an effect on your physical heart. Might be causing a little softening or a little movement, or maybe not. Either way, doesn't matter. Just notice this flowing figure eight in your heart center. And now invite the wave to shift to a position where it is parallel to the floor, with one loop facing one rib cage and the other loop facing the other. And on the inhale, those loops are going to begin to inflate a little like a balloon. And as they inflate, they stretch. Every in-breath stretches them a little bit more. And you might experience just a tiny bit of resistance here and there. And if that's the case, simply invite the watery flow to get a little stronger. Again, this is not about forcing anything. This is just inviting, allowing, and observing. Infinity wave is a living energetic, and when we invite it into our beings, it will begin to show us how it works. And breathing again, stretching this infinity wave, the loops moving toward each rib cage, little by little. As the infinity wave continues to flow and widen and stretch our hearts across the chest, we remember that we're also installing into our heart centers this exquisite 10th dimensional love and compassion. Compassion for our walk in this life, for the challenges, for the failures, for the successes, compassion for the losses, and for all of it, because life is difficult at times. And there's also love, deep and abiding, crystalline love for the choice to be here, for the willingness to love through our challenges, in spite of our challenges. Infinite love for us, for you, for me, for all of us. From this widened heart perspective, we may feel more vulnerable than we're used to. The good thing is, we are completely safe in this love and compassion. It's okay to be this open. Let the infinity wave shrink back to where you're more comfortable. Now you understand, with with a felt sense of it, that you have the capacity for great self-love first. Knowing that that will extend out to everyone you're in contact with and beyond. Each person who awakens to this love affects the whole profoundly. You are the lights. How's everybody doing?
Well, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful state to be in. You definitely feel the love and the peace just emanating and being in that state of relaxation. And it's so nice to know that there's so much going on that maybe, you know, our minds don't understand, but that you brought in, you know, through the quantum and through the tenth dimension, that we can surround ourselves with that and be part of that energy, even though we don't necessarily understand it right now. Just thank you for that beautiful gift.
Oh, it's my pleasure to share. My honor.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here, Hope. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the community as we start to wind this down?
You know, I just am so grateful to you, Ian, and to your community, because it can feel at times like we're silos, you know, we're doing our thing in our own little way, but we're kind of alone. And when you bring people together like you do with this show, and people show up and they ask questions and they make comments and they interact, it's so important for all of us, you know, to know that there is a network out there. There are lights. When, you know, the very first channeling I got, they said, "You are the lights. You will be called upon to use that light." And that's what you're doing, Ian, and your audience is doing that, and I'm trying to do it. And we all put our piece in, you know, and light up the planet. That's why it's so important to wake up and to jump in and to let the universe catch each and every one of us, because it does really matter. And so I'm just deeply grateful for the opportunity to speak with you and everybody, and I hope that you'll try the Infinity Wave on and that it will delight you as much as it's delighted me.
and that we can all wave together, you know,
yeah,
down the road. So that's
yeah,
where I am now.
So wonderful. Yeah, it sounds so not just intriguing, but it sounds so enticing, you know, when you went through the description of all the aspects of the wave. It just sounded so beautiful, you know, cocooned. I think you used the word cocooned at one point, or cradled, mm-hmm. I think cradled.
Yeah.
Yeah, such, so beautiful. And thank you for bringing that energy and that, I don't know, technology to the group. You know, that futuristic tool that we can all take advantage of, or just become, you know, part of and integrate in our lives for greater awareness and awakening. So again, thank you so much, Hope, for bringing yourself and bringing the infinity wave and bringing the world of Taoism to the wisdom community today. We all appreciate you. So thank you. Thank you, sweet soul.
Well, it's my very deep pleasure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And to the wisdom community, every one of you listening right now or later, thank you so much for being here, being part of it, and you know, just showing up and making a commitment to, you know, taking the information in and doing your part to raise not only your own consciousness, your own vibration, not only accelerating your own evolution and ascension, but really to make a difference in the lives of other people. And by being that light and that smile, that glimmer, that glint in your eye, that someone can look in your eye and just feel better. So thank you for all you're doing, not only, as I said, in your own lives, but in the lives of everyone that you meet. Much, much love to you all. And we thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth, and Father Son. We thank the Ancient Ones. We thank the beautiful divine beings of love, light, power, and service. Much love to you all. Bye now.